Morning, guys.
Hey, Jake.
Yeah.
Just want to say we miss you. We loved Craig, but we got Jake back, right? And we really appreciate who he is. Bless you, man. We love you.
Thank you, Daniel. And I really missed you guys, too. Like, it's Chrissy and I and the twins got to be with my dad last Sunday. We did a little house church, kind of like Danny's, but just at my parents' house. There was more dancing there than there probably was here because my twins danced through our little song time. But I listened to our little podcast, and I got to talk to Craig about Maywood, and Craig just talked about what a special church Maywood is, you know, and can't take Maywood for granted. You know, I've heard that for a long time at Maywood, and it's true, you know. So God's really blessed us. Like, we're not really special individually, right? I think most of us know that about ourselves, right? I can see that about myself, but we see God doing something special with his grace here. God's still involved. I'm excited for what we're going to talk on today because it's some growth for me and it's where God's taken us. I'm really excited for December 3rd, what Mike was mentioning. But today we're in this series called The Cure that Craig and I are doing at the same time. So Church of the Four Corners is doing this as well. And this is getting this idea of, like, we've got heart issues and the cure for a lot of these things. Jesus is going to talk about them in Matthew chapter 6. And for the next few weeks, we're actually going to look at the same couple paragraphs for a few weeks in a row, but we're going to highlight some different stuff each week, okay? So before we get to Matthew 6, though, I want to talk about the thing that we're going to be working on with Jesus this week. What's this thing that we're trying to cure? So this next slide here has a few different things: fear, insecurity, guilt. Fear, insecurity, guilt. None of us like to talk about this sort of stuff, but this next slide I'm going to show you, all of us, I think, are tempted by money to have either a response rooted in fear, a response rooted in insecurity, or a response rooted in some sort of guilt. We live in one of the richest nations through all of human history, right? And whether you're rich or poor for independence, like, there's billions of people that have less than we have. Even with all that money, we also live in a society that greed really powers a lot of our society, right? So we all hear commercials and all sorts of stuff. Maybe we'll go back. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll go back slide-wise. So we hear all these commercials, all this other stuff that's pushing us to, if you watch commercials typically, if you peel back the layers, are trying to dig at inspiring some sort of fear in you, or inspiring some sort of insecurity in you, or inspiring some sort of, like, I'm not enough message that's pretty closely related to guilt. It's like we hear that all day, every day. It works its way into us, right? And Jesus actually talks a lot about money through the Gospels. He talks more about money than he does about heaven and hell. I think, like, about a third of his parables kind of center in on some aspect of money. Talks about it a lot because money tries to possess our hearts. And if we let that fear of, oh, I'm not going to have enough, or that insecurity of, like, I got to have money to have comfort, or some other deceptive promise money gives us, or maybe even a guilt of other people perceiving us a certain way, like perceiving us as too money hungry or perceiving us as being greedy, right? There's all sorts of different ways it comes at us. But if you let that fear or insecurity or guilt grow around money, it always comes out with this sort of fruit. So this is the next slide here. So sugar gumball pods, I think is what this is called. We've all had a neighbor, or maybe at your own house, you have one of these trees. Everybody hates these things, I feel like. I've never met anyone that, like, likes these kinds of trees, so I don't know why they are around in our neighborhoods. But here's the thing. Nobody wants to describe themselves as greedy, but if you have fear in your heart around money, And maybe your family is a family that always avoids the topic, right? You just try to get by without talking about it. Whatever you have to do with money, if you're going through the world system, the world's way of doing it, it's going to result in like a grasping, clenching greed in your heart. It's going to be something that you don't want to let go of that connects to finances. And sugar gumball tree, it sounds like such a nice thing, right? Like you don't expect to step on this sort of stuff when you hear sugar gumball tree. And a lot of us will talk about our own heart junk that way, right? Like I just have this little sugar gumball tree, right? It's no big deal. It's not like my neighbor who has this yard full of these prickly things, right? That's how we view it, right? Like ours has a fancy name and isn't that big of a problem. And our neighbor is so annoying, right? So greedy. But greed is the fruit that comes out of not giving our heart fully over to Jesus with regards to money. And we're going to talk about, if we follow Jesus, what comes with it. But I want to show you one more image before we get into the scripture today. And it's of this guy coming out of a cave. And I think for a lot of us, our family that we grew up in had a big impact on us with how we handle money. And there's a lot of different families out there and a lot of different approaches to money. But for a lot of people, they haven't really faced what they picked up from their grandparents or their parents or whoever else. And if you've gotten married, or even if you just had a roommate that you were around for quite a while, sometimes you pick up from someone else kind of what their family taught them about money. And I won't make you raise your hands because we don't want to offend our spouses, right? But like a lot of us could point out like, well, I could see how their family had some fear or had some insecurity or had, if I can even remember myself, or had some guilt around money, right? And if we were all honest, I think most of us could point that out in the person that we're closest to. But a lot of us would have a hard time pointing it out in ourselves. Like you might have to ask your spouse, how do you see that my family put some insecurity in me about money? Or how do you see that I have a fear about things to do with money? Or how do you see that I have guilt that drives the way I handle money? It's easier to see in someone else than it is to see in ourselves. But so I think when we read this scripture today, I think we're getting exposed to the light. Just like at a cave, you can't miss the sunshine if you've been in a cave. Like you notice it. But when you first see the sunshine, it's kind of glaring, right? What we're going to read today, it might be glaring to you. The way you come into the light of that cave, though, is you take steps out of the cave into the light. Obedience is not how we earn our way to heaven. Mike Sanders was talking about that downstairs. But obedience is how God opens us up. We actually see the truth once we obey, right? And the truth sets us free. If you guys remember that from John chapter 8, Jesus is talking about like, my real disciples, they follow my commands, and then they know the truth, and the truth sets them free. Like obedience is really about taking hold of the good stuff Jesus wants for us. Like the blessings, the truth, the freedom, we get there by taking steps of obedience, right? Just like you step out of a cave into the light, right? So if you guys will turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 is where we're going to start. And like I said, we're going to be focusing on this passage in the next few weeks. But I want us to do a couple things when we read this, because Jesus' words all by themselves, like they don't need a preacher to be powerful. As Christians, like we believe like Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit. He can speak to us individually, right? And so here in a second, I'm going to have us stand up and read this. But before we do, I'm going to have us do a little pause to just clear the space in our heart. It's going to be kind of a way to pray where we just say, like, Jesus, I'm listening, okay? So if you guys, hopefully you're turned there already. We'll have it on the screen if you haven't been able to get there. But if you guys will all, if you're able, if you'll stand up. If you're not able, if you'll just give your full attention, give your respect. And then now, before we read this, I want us all to take a deep breath and breathe it out. And say, Jesus, I'm listening. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Let's leave that slide, that last slide up there for a minute. You guys can be seated. So I wasn't wrong, right? When I said like Jesus' words can preach all by themselves, right? Like, you don't need a preacher to be like, well, I got plenty to do, right? I got plenty of conviction and plenty to do. This week, we're going to focus in on this verse, right? And I'm going to read it to us here in a minute. But first, I want to just tell you a real simple truth about Laredo, Texas, and Duluth, Minnesota. So I was actually talking to Alan, who's lived in Duluth a little bit randomly. But Matthew 24 says there's two different directions here. You can be following the way of money, or you can be following the way of God, and they are not the same. If we go to this slide, it's a really simple concept for us to start with. This is a divided highway, right? You see headlights on one side, taillights on the other. I-35 looks a little bit like this. You probably are familiar with I-35, right? It runs right through Kansas City. If you go all the way to the north to a sign that says, like, end of I-35, which I've seen, it's up in Duluth, Minnesota, you get... That's one place, right? If you go all the way to the south where the name changes because it says, like, you're welcome to Mexico is what it says down at Laredo. I've been there too. Here's what I can tell you about Laredo and Duluth. The weather's not the same. 365 days a year, it's different in Minnesota than it is in Laredo. The whole place is different, right? There's raspberry fields up in Duluth that I've been in. There's no raspberry fields in Laredo, Texas, right? There's plants that look like they could be out of Dr. Seuss that far south in Texas, right? I mean, there's some strange plants living there, right? There's immigration officers that are very grumpy in Laredo. They're not in Duluth, Minnesota, right? Like, it's just, it's there's different places, right? If you get on I-35, it doesn't matter what you say to yourself or whoever else is in the car. It doesn't matter whether you are talking about how you're really excited for Texas weather or how you're really excited for a lot of us, right? But this verse is Jesus' way of saying, like, it's my way or money's way. It's not both at the same time. And before we can get into any of this practical stuff, the bigger issue is, like, in your heart, do you want Jesus to be king? Or at least, like, want to want. Like, if you're even at that spot of, like, Jesus, I am fearful, or I am insecure, or I am unsure, or I do feel guilty, or I do feel greedy, but please help me. I want to be close to you, right? Because everything we're going to learn that the Bible talks about with money, it's not guilt-driven. Like some of us, we can make changes in our life with money that's still guilt-driven, right? But that's not God's way. God's way with us is like for us to want to do things with him, to want to serve him, to joyfully give. That's what he's after. So at any point today, if you start feeling guilty, I want you to have already heard, like, guilt's not what we're after, right? So you start feeling guilty, like, it smells off, right? It's kind of like if you pour in a glass of milk and it smells bad, like, you slow down everything you're doing, right? You're like, I think something's off, right? Like, I'm going to now be cautious. As soon as you start feeling guilty, be cautious. Like, I might be getting off of where Jesus wants me to be. Okay, so let's go back to this verse and read it one more time. Then I want to tell you a little example here of these two passages. It says, no one can serve two masters. Jesus doesn't kid around and say, like, oh, you're totally independent. You get to make your own way. Like, the truth is, like, we're driven by other things, right? Like, we choose a path to submit to, right? It says, either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. It's really easy to live your life for money. Most people don't admit that to themselves, but a lot of people like trade their time for money, and they trade more than just their time. They'll give up relationships. They'll give up all sorts of stuff to make sure the money that they feel like they need is there, right? Finally here, you cannot serve both God and money. This next image here is one about kids, but I think kids can sometimes show us stuff that's true about us too. We just don't express it in the way that you can see it as clearly. If you've ever been to a party with a pinata and you've seen kids that don't have parents like forcing them to act a certain way, normally kid hits it with the bat, right? And then like there's just like this like greed fest, right? Of like whoever's the strongest is like grabbing a crazy amount, right? And there's like pushing and elbows. It's like a fight, right? And that's exactly what greed is, right? Some of us like dress it up and we act like it's more polite than that. But greed is about saying like, I want, I'm gonna grab and hold and clutch and I don't care about others. It's about getting as much for me as I can. It looks really ugly when we see adults act that way, right? If you've ever, back in the day in Black Friday used to be a bigger deal. If you ever went to Best Buy like 20 years ago, like, there you go. It's like an adult pinata moment, right? Of like, it's just electronics instead of candy. But it's ugly, right? Like, if you've ever been around that sort of stuff, it's like an ugly scene. But our hearts can have that same sort of ugliness in us too, right? People, we can be greedy and grasping. This is a repeat of a story, so I won't stick it on there long. But if you were here when I talked about Shane Claiborne and that ice cream cone, he gave an ice cream cone to a homeless child in Calcutta. And the kid, on his birthday, said to all the other kids around him, we have ice cream. And then he lined them up and said, everybody gets a lick, right? It's a different germ zone, right, for the homeless kids in Calcutta. But can you imagine that? Like this little kid who's maybe never had ice cream, and his first impulse is to share it with all the other kids. And to say, we have, right? That's like the opposite of greed. It's this like light holding, available to others, grateful, excited, joyful, not afraid. That's the opposite of greed. Like greed is like clutching and afraid of losing and trying to dominate others to keep yourself in, to have enough, right? But this little homeless child was teaching Shane about like what is the opposite of that, a generous heart, a grateful heart that holds loosely, makes things available to others. It says, the good that I've been given by someone or by God, I want to share it. And we like to think like, oh, once I get a certain amount of money, then I'll be able to share. Do you see how that's a lie though, right? Like what person do you know that like once they got really rich, then they became generous? I mean, like maybe they gave away money, but did they really give in any sort of way that was like actually sharing? We probably all have met somebody that didn't have very much that was very open-handed with what they did have, right? Like if you've had a chance to live around rich people and to also live around poor people, however you define that, you've probably seen that. Like poor folks tend to be more generous with what they do have, more open-handed with what they do have. It's a lie that a lot of us buy into of I need a little more and then I can be giving. It's like once you have a little more, you'll be that much further down I-35 towards the direction of money, right? You'll be that much further down the path. So we're gonna get practical here with Maywood in just a second. I have to give you a caveat though. I'm gonna talk to you guys about giving and giving to of your finances. And there's somebody in the room that I don't know who you are, but I've been afraid to talk about money at Maywood because I'm afraid that someone will think like, oh, Jake is just after my money so that his salary will be okay. My full-time job is to work at Maywood, so it's made me feel pretty awkward to talk to you guys about money, right? So I got some advice from another pastor. He's like, well, just if you're worried about it, let me just clear the air. If that does bother you, if you're like, I think Jake's just trying to manipulate me for himself. If you think that, I probably shouldn't be your pastor. I mean, for like, however that works out, like that's probably true. Like it's not a good fit. However we have to make that play out. But I also want to just give you a free pass because sometimes these lies play in our head and they freeze us. We don't say them, but they stop us from acting. I'm going to give you permission. Like if there's some other church that you want to give to, if there's some other ministry you want to give to, if there's some poor person you want to give to, if you really think like God wants me to give, but Jake's trying to manipulate me, like when to just give to God. Find some way that you can say, like, this doesn't benefit me in any way, but this is helping other people either have food that they need or get to hear the gospel, something like that, right? There's lots of different churches, lots of different ways to give to others, to say, I release this generously to somebody else. So, but I want to talk to you guys about giving because the Bible talks a lot about money. And there's a lot of freedom in what the Bible shares because we are on a journey to grow to where we trust God with everything and where we receive everything as a gift and where we can be generous like God our Father is generous. And that's a journey, right? Like none of us have arrived there, right? So let me show you this little ladder. This is not perfect, but I'm trying to make something make sense in a way that we can move, right? In a way we can take a step. So if you've never given any money to Maywood or to a church, the very first step on this little giving ladder thing is that you decide, like, I'm going to give something. The thing about Christianity is, like, God's given you what you have. He's also given you the choice with what you have. So if you're going to give for the first time, like, you choose, right? Like, what is that amount? But that's a step from having never given to giving for the first time. It's a step to say, like, I'm taking contrary action to greed. There's nothing more opposite than greed than to give money away. And that contrary action has a way of, like, freeing our heart from all that junk of greed, right? If you've already given to Maywood, but it was, like, a long time ago, or it's just kind of all over the place sporadic, the truth is, like, the world works on our heart consistently to try to get us to become greedy people. And if you want to go further with Jesus, you need to be a consistent giver. What does that mean? It means maybe it's every month, maybe it's every week. Maybe somehow you find a daily way to give to God, right? But it's this idea of saying, I'm going to set up a discipline in my life where I consistently give. Next thing here is tithe. That's a churchy word. My small group was talking a lot about tithe this last Wednesday. I just sat back and listened because I kind of wanted to hear where people were at. We had a guy that had just a few weeks clean who was asking, like, what is all this stuff about? Like, what am I supposed to do? And they got into, like, net pay and gross pay and, like, all this stuff. And it was all good. Here's what my small group's advice was. And this is the same advice I've pretty much heard my whole life. I grew up with really great parents. I grew up in the church. And this is what I was taught. And I was kind of taught, like, this is the whole deal. And I think it's worth sharing with us. There's this old hymn called Old Religion. I think it has this line in about, like, give me some of that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Like, there's this humility of, like, if it was good enough for people that have come before me, like, I don't need a better system. Tithe is rooted in Abraham freely giving 10% of a financial resource that he had and giving it over to a priest and a king. And then Jacob, his grandson, gives 10% of all of his wealth to God at one point. And then throughout the Old Testament, there's commands to bring 10% of everything we have and give it over to God. And it goes to the poor, it goes to family celebrations in the temple, it goes to pay for their priests and Levites and others working in the temple. That's a whole lot of detail there. All of us, I think no matter where you're at financially, 10% of your income is a chunk, right? Like I think the IRS probably wants 20% or something. You know, like other people sometimes want more, but you're probably gonna feel 10%, especially if you've never given before. Like it's a sacrifice, right? So what is that about? It's about saying there's some really great examples in the Old Testament of people that said, I'm going to give 10% of everything I make right off the top, first fruits, or right when I get paid, I'm going to give it to God. In the church I grew up in and my parents, they taught me like, Jake, whenever you earn money, before taxes, before anything else, you give 10% of that and you put it in the offering plate at church. Like that's what I learned when I was like a little bitty kid. So that's where tithing comes in. And if you've been giving consistently, but you've never given 10% of your income, like that's, it'll change you, right? And there's a lot of testimonies in my small group I've heard it from other people in the room. Like when they became a tither, it changed their relationship with God. They realized that God provides for them in a way that they never realized before. So here's the thing about Christianity, and then is that Jesus is pushing us to greater things than any of us would probably sign up for on our own. Jesus is pushing for us to be just like him, together, for us to be just like him in his love, his mercy, his power. So there's a lot of examples in the New Testament of people seeing giving as an opportunity, not as a burden. People who would sacrificially give everything they owned to try to help the poor among them in their church. People who would sacrificially say, it's not just enough for me to do what people did in the Old Testament. Like, I'm going to give way more to what God's doing in our midst. C.S. Lewis used to do what he called a reverse tithe because he was making a bunch of money off his books. He gave 90% of his income away and tried to live off of 10%. So here's the thing. Christy and I are not really approaching abundant giving, right? Like there's a bunch of us in the room that aren't approaching this, right? The stats are, I think that like the vast majority of Christians don't even tithe, right? I want everybody in the room today to realize like there's a next step for all of us. Like none of us have just arrived on our journey with Jesus. None of us have gotten perfect with regards to money. And so remember, if at this point you're starting to feel like, Jake, just you're talking about money a bunch and I'm feeling really uncomfortable, remember that whole thing I said about guilt, right? Like if you can't do it with joy, you're not doing it right. And if you're worried that I'm somehow trying to be manipulative, like just that escape clause, right? Like go give a check to some other church, like you're still doing, right? Like let's not let these little caveats scare us away from the truths that are in here that Jesus is talking about, right? But if we're a part of Maywood and we believe in Maywood, like it makes sense to say like, as a church, let's be strong together. As a church, like let's minister together. We're a touch over, and I was gonna talk about this on the third, but some of this I will talk about on the third. We're gonna touch one last thought here. This cave picture. I went cave exploring, really intense cave exploring one day of my life. And it was such an intense cave that, I mean, I'm small. I've always been this small. Like, in this cave, I was like 20 years old. I had to like wiggle. Like there was no like crawling. It was like wiggling through a bunch of the cave. And it got so tight at one point, I had to take my little cave helmet off because I'm that type of guy, right? Like I wear helmets when I do stuff. So I'd take my nerdy little helmet off because my helmet was too big to fit through this stuff I was going through. So I had to push my helmet in front of me. And I remember thinking, there was three other guys with me. I remember thinking like, if we get stuck, like how on earth do we get out of here? You know, like if that guy gets stuck or that guy, right? Why do I tell you this story? I was in that cave for hours and hours and hours and hours. And a lot of you, even myself, like we've lived years of our life cramped in the dark in our hearts with regards to money. When I got out of that cave, I got advice from someone else that went with us. He said, when you get home tonight, you should do something. So I went home and did it. What he told me to do, I still remember it. This was back pre-Chrissy. I'm in this little twin bed, right? I went home laying on that twin bed. He said, take a deep breath. And so I went, I felt like the walls of my chest could have touched like these walls. I'd been so like tight all day long that like taking a deep breath, it just felt like my rib cage just kept going, 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 going. It was a weird feeling. And it's because I had been so trapped for that whole day. Some of you don't realize how tight your inside condition is because you've lived your whole life this way. And you haven't really made God and Jesus the master of your finances. And it's not so much about Maywood's budget. Like, I believe God's going to take care of Maywood's budget. And if it doesn't, like, God's kingdom is going to advance, right? Like, we're going to trust that. But I do know, like, we can't be full disciples of Jesus. We can't have the freedom Jesus wants if we keep money in the dark. If we try to keep our money to the side and give Jesus the rest of our life. Or even if you say, I'm going to give you 10%, but I'm not going to let you touch anything else. There'll come a time in our discipleship where Jesus says, like, I want all of you. And maybe it doesn't all go in the offering plate, but he wants to have the say on what happens with all of it, right? And there's this blessing that you maybe don't even understand yet of the weight of that being off of you, of the freedom of being like that little kid in Calcutta who had the right heart towards his one possession of ice cream to say, we have ice cream. Everybody gets a lick, right? God has been generous with us. Like, let's be open-handed with God and with each other. Let me pray for you guys. Jesus, I thank you that you came to set us free. And I thank you that we don't have to obey first, that you forgive us and rescue us and then show us how to obey. And for all of us in the room, I pray you would free us from fear and insecurity and guilt. And I pray you would individually show us what's our next step of obedience with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.